Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders. Listen as they identify factors that drive innovation and measure significant business results. Be inspired and influenced by their insights and outcomes. Hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC.
Well, welcome to Significant Business Results Radio. I'm your host, Fran McNeil, and joining me in the virtual studio this evening is Nikita Thigpen of Big Pro Balance and Relationship Management Institute. Nikita, welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
I am wonderful this evening. Thank you, Fran, for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. We're actually just kind of continuing our conversation. We had the opportunity to talk before we came online here, and I'm really excited to have you on the show. You've got this wonderful, and I'll use the word balance, of perspective, entrepreneurship, and I think really kind of a philosophy of life that I really think our listeners will enjoy hearing about. So I'm just going to ask you to sort of share a little bit about yourself in the context of what's your significant story sort of brought you to this place of entrepreneurship. You can start wherever you want.
I know, isn't that always funny when you think about, well, which pivot should I start from? Because there's been so many along the road.
Exactly.
Right. I would honestly say, you know, I don't have the childhood story that many people have as entrepreneurs, where they could say, oh, I've been an entrepreneur since I was two. I've been an entrepreneur since I was nine. Yes, you know, I did the small things with a best friend in kindergarten, you know, getting shoes and selling shoestrings and painting and sequencing canvas sneakers and little things like that to earn candy money. But I was way more of a giver than I was of a seller. I took all of my earnings and bought candy for the block. I would steal little 50-cent pieces from my parents and, well, from my mother and my grandmother and go buy nickel candy as much as I could get that I clearly stole their 50-cent pieces for and got them from the downstairs, down the street corner store so I could buy the whole neighborhood candy. So I was not an early entrepreneur. I was a giver 100% of the time. And my road led me to be a social worker. So I am a professional licensed clinical social worker. I will be to the day I die, although I'm not acting in that practice. I don't have a private practice. I'm no longer working for the hospital systems and support centers and child advocate centers that I used to work in. I haven't done so in almost 6 years at this point. But I maintain my license, and I stay very ingrained in my profession because it's a huge part of me as a human being and as a giver who learned how to hone that giving through skills and resources. So what really kind of propelled me, if you would, to where I am now was me embracing the fact that there was something bigger than what I was already doing, which was pretty intense. You know, my professional expertise is in trauma, relationship management, human behavior, sex therapy, a lot of things that people don't want to talk about. And I was very skilled at getting people to break open and expose the parts that were hurting them the most that they were afraid to share so they could start to heal. And that was a skill that I had, but the way I was doing it as kind of a midwife in the experience, you know, those very intimate one-on-one, one-on-two ways didn't feel impactful enough. And it probably was honestly because of the structure, the systems that I worked in, you know, being in the hospital, being in the advocate center. A lot of those places that you work for, I mean, they have liability insurance. They have rules and regulations. You know, if you are a social worker, you have to help with the social and familial issues, the clinical issues, the marriage issues, the conflict. If they have a business issue, a financial problem, something outside the realm of that that dichotomy that you're, quote-unquote, skilled to do, even if you have skills or ideas or expertise or other unrelated experience that you could bring in and help that person or family with, you're not allowed to. So you're restricted in your ability to help, even though you might have more tools to do it. And I felt restricted. I felt like I was in a box, and I was suffocating, even though I was doing really good work that I loved doing. I wasn't having the impact that I wanted. For me, it would be the same as, you know, five friends are really hungry, but your mom says you can only treat one to come in for dinner.
Ah.
What about the other five? And I needed to do something bigger. So I prayed and I prayed and I cried and I prayed and I cried some more. And then finally, I got what I wanted. I had an experience where I was literally standing inside of service at church one day, and I promise I was listening to what the pastor was saying. I promise I was. And I just immediately started to have like an out-of-body experience where I received the vision of where I was eventually going. It wasn't the first step. I didn't get clear guided instructions. It was kind of like a big picture experience. And it was amazing and overwhelming. And it was honestly the setup to start, you know, literally to get my engine going with excitement that honestly turned into really overwhelming nervousness. And I wasn't sure what to do with it because I started to have doubts. You know, how could this little old social worker, this little skinny, big-headed girl from Mount Airy, you know, do all the things that I just saw?
I'm laughing,
you know,
at the big-headed. Okay, I see the picture.
I still got it, right? It hasn't gone away. my body just kind of caught up to my head. But with it, I was really nervous. So I, you know, I did what a lot of dreamers do. I got stuck in my dream. I wasn't sure I was good enough to believe in it, to be honest, Fran. Like, I was just kind of like, all right, that's huge. I'm excited to know I had prayed and asked, what is my purpose? What am I here for? Where am I going? But I did not ask, how do I start? I didn't ask that. So I floundered. My husband and I, a year or so later, we started the business from a seed that had great intention, but it was not measured. It was not strategic. It was not in the way that it needed to be. It was very strategic, but strategic going in the wrong direction. And eventually, after I got out of my way, we evolved into what is now the Big Pro Balance and Relationship Management Institute, which does amazing work.
Well, I'm going to have you stop for a second and say the name of your business a little bit slower, because it is a mouthful. And it is, I mean, you were intentional and strategic about why you named your business what you named it. So just take a step back and sort of share why that name, what the name is, and how people can get more information on it. And then talk a little bit more about the business.
Yeah, sure. So it's the legal name of our company is actually my last name. It's Big Pens Professionals, LLC, but no one could say it. No one could say Big Pens Professionals. We were Pig Pens and Pie Pens and all kinds of things. And people on their own just kind of acronymed us as TP, literally for Big Pens Professionals, or they would just say Fig Pro. And Fig Pro kind of stuck. So we took Fig Pro and said, all right, but what is Fig Pro? Like, how do I explain it? Because Fig Pens Professionals had a little bit of meaning behind it. So the discovery of the word was really just aligning what resonated with people and what they could say with the vision that I had. The vision that I had that day a long time ago, back in 2010, was of a self-care institution. It was literally an institute that didn't have walls. It was global. It had a global footprint that was very clear. So it's a mix of virtual and in-person and in-class and inside organization services that we provide. But I remember the vision. I got to basics. I kept it simple and said, well, where, when I was lost, you know, when we got lost on the path, when we realized that we didn't have the right seeds down, the right strategy, you know, a year or so in to beginning in 2011, I said, let's get back to what it said. It said institute. It said self-care institute. And although I didn't want to necessarily use the word self-care because that for a lot of people that just meant life coaching, it only meant personal development. They didn't understand the business development, the leadership development, the professional development part of that when they thought self-care, just because of the way we've kind of diminished words nowadays in 2016, 2017. we've just diminished a lot of things. And balance is what keeps me up at night. You know how people say, you know, the thing you love to do, the thing you're supposed to do is what keeps you up at night. It's the thing you dream about. It's the thing you focus on. Mm-hmm. And for me, that has always been about maintaining balance for myself and everyone around me in any way I could help them to balance. And as a social worker, that's what we did, right? We gave them tools to better balance in their mm-hmm. life and relationships. Mm-hmm. And relationship management for me is honestly starting with the relationship of yourself. You are out of balance mm-hmm. when you are not living your truth and you don't have a good relationship with yourself in that moment. Mm-hmm. Whatever that moment mm-hmm. is, you have tethered yourself to someone else's expectations or even your own expectations that are outdated and limiting, and that's what throws you out of balance. So for me, the two go mm-hmm. very hand in hand together. You have good balance. You have a good relationship, at least with yourself, and you can start working mm-hmm. on the relationships with your partner or within your partnerships, you know, your business relationships, your coworkers, your peers, your children, your siblings. You can kind of extend, but it has to start with you. So for us, you know, the big pro was just a matter of, you know, bringing it down to a syllable people could pronounce, mm-hmm. but balance of relationship management, for us, it is pivotal, and it's not a cliched aspect of a conversation. It's mm-hmm. important for anyone who wants to be able to move forward.
Well, I really appreciate that you share the context. There are a lot of, if people kind of go through that process of being passionate about something and then saying, so how do I make it work? They sometimes pull on the internet keywords together and, you know, say, okay, this is what I'm going to be about. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that you kind of shared the genesis of the name of your business. And then when I think back to I wrote some notes here, that it's not so much that you were an entrepreneur when you were younger, but you were a giver. And you focused on human beings and embracing something bigger than yourself. And entrepreneurship over the years has evolved, and a lot of newer entrepreneurs think first about social entrepreneurship, giving uh-huh. back and enriching, you know, sort of the profits of the community as opposed to just their own pockets. So I think in a lot of ways you represent a newer kind of entrepreneur. And again, it's your perspective is a refreshing one to hear. And tell me a little bit about, you're welcome. Tell me a little bit about what brings you joy as you work with people in your, and you talked about Big Pro, balance, mm-hmm. relationship, and management as you work in your institute, because that is another really intentional word, this meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a great question too, Fran. There are lots of things that I will say bring me joy because I really do have a positive outlook and perspective over every aspect of my life, even the failures. You know, we failed our way forward. Mm-hmm. We failed our way here, mm-hmm. Learning from our mistakes, realizing that you do need coaches and advisors in your life. Mm-hmm. And the excuse of not being raised to know that doesn't work anymore. So mm-hmm. I had to really look at how did I was always a very optimistic person. You know, that was just something that I chose to be. It was not something that I was born with. And I know there's a lot of science behind it, but I was not born optimistic. I chose to be optimistic. I wanted to look at life as a glass that was half full and not half empty. So for me, that allows me now in my, you know, adult years and in my right now where I have a lot more choices of my own and don't have to, you know, kind of succumb to the parents and the grandparents and that kind of thing. Now I look to find joy in waking up and being able to open my eyes and see and feel and touch and taste and have mobility in my limbs. My joy literally starts from a space of gratefulness that I'm here because I don't have to be. Mm-hmm. And there are plenty mm-hmm. of people who have not seen 39 years old, and I've seen it. And I've had a lot of wacky moments along the way. I've seen some stuff that probably most 50-year-olds haven't seen and 16-year-olds haven't seen, and I can still find joy because I was privileged and honored to have the opportunity to be in that space to see it, to help people, to direct them to someone else, to refer. Just being a resource is probably one of the things that brings me the most joy as a human, you know, aside from my business. Being able to connect someone to a resource that they need is probably one of the simplest joys that I find. And given the opportunity, when the opportunity arises, to be able to impart any part of wisdom that I have that I've been downloaded to, and share that to help someone else just move a little bit further in their journey. That brings me joy.
Wow. I'm smiling and shaking my head because often it's possible to get stuck, and it's just refreshing to hear you talk about failing forward and then not letting that, being grateful, and then this whole concept of being a resource. And in a lot of ways, I think as I listen to you, I hear that you are a source of comfort and guidance for others, and you connect others to sources of comfort and guidance. So there's almost this recycling going on in a positive kind of way.
Thank you.
You mentioned in our conversation that we were having earlier before we were online that you are also a minister. And I wondered, you're an entrepreneur, you're a minister, you're clearly a human being connected with giving. How do you manage and balance, I'll use some of your words, the different relationships and roles that you have in life? And when they intersect, you know, when are you your best person? I mean, because I think in a lot of ways you're a role model for others, whether intentionally or not.
That's a great question. And that's something that I'm very conscious of, having the boundaries of that intersection. You know, I had a client call me this morning. She actually texted me about a week ago saying, hey, I'm going through another transition, which is kind of my specialty area when people are in that gray space. I'm going through a transition, and I'm not sure if I need services or prayer. And she was honest in her message.
Wow.
I mean, that was a great and it's not a client that we would typically, you know, have a session where we would pray together or, you know, or do any of that. And that is not a typical part of any of my sessions. By any means, I do keep that veil down and clear. Long story short, we ended up having a conversation earlier today, which was interesting because it mirrored a friend who had a similar request, who is not a client, who has never been a client, and she had a similar request. So, you know, I'm not sure if I need to run some business stuff by you or some prayer. But for the client who had that question this morning, you know, my response to her was of a safe space of setting the framework for expectation. Because if it was a full session, we would have, you know, we would have scheduled it. We would have put it through the acuity that I use. Some people use a CETA or Calendly or whatever it's called or something like that. And this was not that type of thing. So I responded and said, well, I'll be happy to pray with you. Because she knows what to do if it is a session-based question, right? Like she's been a client for a while. She's not new to it. So that set the tone. I could have said, well, why don't you email me some of your questions or we could set up a laser call. That would have indicated for her that this was a business conversation, and I would have dissected the two. But I set the framework for prayer So when we had about a 20-minute conversation, she went in to explain what it is and told me what her prayer request was, and we prayed over the phone. It was not a business session. I didn't do my normal challenging, pushing, here's your accountability work that you have to follow up on, you know, things that we would normally do, right?
Right.
You walk that walk as well, so you know.
Right. Exactly.
Right? So I definitely didn't do that. I made the, you know, the line very clear. Let's start with prayer. Now, at the end of that, after we prayed together, I said, now, if you have any questions or challenges after this moment, which is completely fine, you know, don't have any shame or guilt about it if you're still feeling unresolved, because I'm not God. I'm not answering your prayer. I'm just sending it up. Mm-hmm. And I do believe my prayer goes up. And I'm very intentional about that. But if there's any challenges or anything that comes up and you do want to cover this in a session, you know, just go through the normal link and we'll get you on the books. You know, they have a private link to my schedule and we'll go from there. And she said, okay. She was like, let me just sit with it, see what happens. And, you know, within the next 24 to 48 hours, I'll decide if this is something, because it was off the cuff from our normal work that we do together. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, I'll decide if it is. And, you know, I have all the clients kind of preset their agenda with groundbreaking forms when I'm working with my VIP clients, mm-hmm. the one-on-one coaching. And when we do that, they set the tone for the meeting. I obviously keep us according to the guidelines that we set in the very beginning of the program, but they set the tone because urgent things can come up, right? You know, 2 weeks ago, they might not have been dealing with a layoff or someone that they had to let go or some other transitional issue. But maybe right now they are. So I always let them set the tone at least 24 to 48 hours before the session. So that's one way that I'll handle it, is I'll be very clear. Now, if I'm in a session or if I'm leading a micro-retreat with 20 or 25 women, and that's something that is very high in the room and there is clearly something toxic that needs to deal with, I'm very open and very honest, and I will tell women straight out, women who have never met me, who might have just come with a friend, one of their cousins made them come, you know, something. I'll say, listen, I'm very open. I am not judgmental. You know, if someone's, you know, if they talk a certain way, if they had to curse, if they had to do anything, you're human. So I don't hold any of that against you, but I do create a safe space. And that is something that will change my character if I feel like other people are unsafe. And that is definitely, you know how they say you should know your triggers? Me, a trigger is when someone else feels uncomfortable. And they're uncomfortable because they feel unsafe. That is a trigger as a social worker. That is a trigger as a woman.
Right.
That is a trigger. That is a trigger as a survivor. So I always set the tone there. And I have had to pray in the midst of, you know, events and things that I've done, right? You know, short, poignant, direct prayers to kind of clear the air because there was something toxic. But that's a rare thing that would happen. So I do really focus on the boundary. So that people can feel safe enough to open up and not feel like, oh, my goodness, you know, she's a minister, so I can't even share with her the fact that I'm dealing with this relationship issue or, you know, I'm dating this guy and I can't. They're like, no, honey, I'm 39, okay? I'm not 17. I haven't not lived the world yet, and I'm not 109. I'm not holding you to some, you know, high level that, you know, some expectation that you can't be a human and have all kinds of life challenges and frameworks. So I am cognizant of it, though, and I don't post it. It's not, you know, it's not something I really talk about quite often. It's, you know, maybe in, like, we were having such a good conversation. So, you know, it's kind of occasionally it'll come out. But I do try to be mindful not to hide it, but not to wear it as a banner either, because I am more secretly powerful than I am outwardly powerful, and I know that about myself. Most of my power is the quiet power. It's not when I'm being verbal, and I know it, so I own it, you know?
Wow. I the word that comes to mind is appreciate. I appreciate the perspective that you have, and I know that we have a limited amount of time left in this really conversation. And I wanted you to maybe share, sort of end this conversation with as someone's listening here, and they could be an entrepreneur that's just starting their business, or someone who has listened regularly and heard a wide variety of entrepreneurs share perspectives, what's something that you often share with your clients that helps them think about balance and relationship management in a perspective that, you know, they can kind of carry with them as they go through some of life's challenges? So it might be in the form of a quote. It might be in the form, you know, I'm not sure. But what's something that you often share with clients that kind of keeps them on track?
I mean, there's a few things, but a non-quote version is I instruct all clients to get a little selfish. Be more selfish. We do so much for everyone else. We're firefighters all the time, blowing out fire after fire after fire and not taking breaks to pause or going to the bathroom and hydrating. Like, we just don't do it. And when we do, it's because we got sick. You know, we got shut down by something, a cold, a virus, you know, a baby, something shut us down for a while. And it's usually the kind of shutdown that you were not only not anticipating, but you didn't have an opportunity to plan for. So then you're sitting there sick, feeling guilty about all the things that you should have been able to take care of, but didn't have the right plans in place. So I tell them the first thing you have to do is own that you are no good to anyone if you are not good to yourself. And it's okay. You don't have to feel guilty or ashamed about doing it. I get it. We all have 5,000 hats that we wear, and that makes you no better or no less than someone who has 5,001 or just three. What it does is put you in the – right? But it will put you in the hospital and knock you on your behind, and literally and figuratively, if you don't get a handle on how important you are. So I tell them to embrace their process. You know, whatever your process is on your journey, embrace it and say, I get it. This is a lesson or this is a blessing. Either way, I'm going for the ride because you're moving, and that is the most important.
Wow, wow. And what a wonderful sort of circle back to part of your discussion and sharing around balance and relationship and the importance. The first relationship is with yourself. You really kind of just brought it back home. Nikita, thank you so much for being a guest this evening. I have really enjoyed this conversation. I know it's not about me. And it's just been wonderful to hear you share your perspective. And I know that there are some listeners out there that would like to get in touch with you. So if you'll share how they can contact you one more time, that would be great.
Absolutely.
And then we'll wrap up.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm honored and grateful that you invited me, Fran. So I have to thank you for that as well. Please go to Thigpro, THIGPRO.com. It's the easiest thing to do. And you will see literally in 48 hours, you'll see a brand new website. So go over to Thigpro.com, sign up for updates, join the Dreamers Blueprint. All those things are available for you literally in 48 hours. So this is perfect timing for this interview as well. This was exciting. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, excellent. Well, thank you so much, Nikita. Have a great evening. And I'm going to go to the website now, and then I'm going to check in 48 hours just so I can see the transformation. And thank you again for sharing some of your time tonight. Guests and listeners, as always, significant business results. Continue to join us as we hear significant stories from significant entrepreneurs.
Significant Business Results Radio features concise and compelling interviews with entrepreneurs and business leaders, hosted by Fran McNeil, President of Significant Business Results, LLC. Follow Significant Business Results Radio on blogtalkradio.com/significantbusinessresults.